Great message in that song. Turn to your Bibles. First of all, we'll begin with our text in Luke chapter 8. But this morning we want to talk about Jesus, the great deliverer. You know, it's amazing when you read the Bible and you find that you have all these people in the Bible that were influenced by demons. And our society has just as bad a sins, if not more. And the devil doesn't have anything to do with it. But of course, when we read the Word of God, we find in our text that this man, it says in verse 29, oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now, we see some physical pictures of the strength of the devil in this person's life. But you know, the Bible talks about the fact that there are such things as strongholds of sin in a person's life. We're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture. We'll kind of use these as a background. But if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And we want to talk about what the Bible talks about is a principle of Satan's strongholds in a person's life. Now, in the Bible, in ancient times, a stronghold was like a fort. It was very hard to penetrate. It was very hard to defeat. Now, the Bible uses that word, strongholds, and I think that is pretty easy to understand. It's talking about sin that has a stronghold on a person. And such a stronghold that they in themselves are not able to deliver themselves from it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, because there's a spiritual warfare that we are in. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now it tells us that our weapons that we have in God are mighty, and that the strongholds of Satan can be pulled down. Now, let's go to another verse and think about these strongholds. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. And here it gives us another viewpoint, another possibility of the issue of a stronghold. In other words, a sin that has a stronghold on a person. And here it gives us the sense that even as it talked about 2 Corinthians, about a spiritual warfare, it tells us that sin may have a stronghold upon a person because of Satan. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now here's a picture. The picture is a person in prison, and the person who is in charge of the prison is the devil. And the person that's in the cell, in this case, is a believer. Not an unbeliever. Talking about the pastor ministering to his own people. And he says, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to minister to people who have been taken captive by the devil. In other words, they're in the jail cell. And they can't get out. Now the Bible says they can recover themselves through Christ. But in their present state of mind, they aren't going to get out of that jail cell. Now, it tells us that pride has a lot to do with this. It says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. These people are in this jail cell, and they don't want to admit they're in this jail cell. And they don't want someone telling them that they're in this jail cell. And so the Bible says you have to be really careful with them. You have to be really careful with them because their pride makes them their own worst enemy. Because they won't listen. But the sad state is they are in the bondage of a stronghold of the devil. Now, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 6, it gives us a little insight into these strongholds of sin. And we're going to go to another verse to kind of help us put that together. Romans chapter 6. And the verse that we're looking at is going to tell us that what he is saying is common knowledge. It's something that is known, obviously known. 6 verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. He said, well, this is common knowledge. Don't you know it? Whoever you yield to, that's whose servant you are. Oh. Okay, so if you yield to Christ, now you're his servant. Oh, that's good. But if you yield to sin, now your boss is sin. Now you know what? There's no in between. No in between. You say, I'm not going to yield to God. Well, guess what? That means you're yielding to sin, and guess who's your boss? Now, I think this gives us a little insight into this principle the Bible talks about being taken captive by Satan. Being taken captive by Satan by his own will. Whose will? The person's will. You know, I think of it this way. You know, it's pretty simple. People that, you know, there's a lot of young people that make it pretty clear that they're being influenced by the devil. Well, I mean, how do you mean, Pastor? You know, well, you know what? People who are artists and they're always drawing, you know, these kind of dark type of pictures. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? It's not an accident. You know, I'm surprised that people just don't recognize that, you know, there's A plus B equals, you know, whatever. 1 + 1 = 2. You know, when young people dress like a certain way, it's not an accident. They're identifying with the influence in their life. And I know where I was going. So you know what? One of Satan's primary tactics is the I call them the gates to your body. That's his primary tactic. Eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, the gates of the body. That's how Satan is his primary means of influencing people. The gates to the body. And the world says it's nothing. And sometimes Christians say it's nothing. You say listening to Satan's music doesn't have any influence. There it is. There's the gate to your body. You say pornography doesn't have any effect. There's the gate to your body. Drugs don't have any effect beyond physical. There's the gate to your body. Gates. Now, notice the Bible says this whole issue of becoming a servant. The Bible talks about being captive, held in a jail cell by Satan. The Bible talks about a person having been dominated by a stronghold, a hold of Satan. Now, how does this come about? Well, the Bible says it's a person, it's because of choices that you make. When you make a bad choice, you're not just making a bad choice. When you're making a bad choice, you are opening yourself up to Satan's influence. How many people think that? How many of you, the last time you made a bad choice, you said, oh, I'm opening up myself to the devil. And there's another interesting verse, Psalm 19. And this gives us another insight into this issue of Satan's hold and a stronghold. Psalm 19, the great psalm in the Bible. Wow, it's so wonderful. First part talks about the heavens declare the glory of God and that his message is gone throughout creation. And then it goes to verse 7, talks about the law of the Lord. It is perfect. But in verse 13 is very interesting. Well, verse 12, it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Kind of interesting thought, isn't it? Now, I've never been to AA. I heard something about it. But, you know, they say with AA, maybe I'm getting it right, maybe I'm getting it wrong, that one of the keys is a person has to finally admit they have a problem. You know what I mean? What it's calling? It's saying, keep thou me from secret faults. Well, this person's got a problem. They don't even know they got a problem. You know what I'm saying? Now look at the next verse. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know, I always had trouble with that. I don't know why. I guess my vocabulary isn't very big. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. You know, I'll make it real simple. You know what a presumptuous sin is? It's a sin that a person knows is wrong and they do it anyhow. They know it's wrong and they do it anyhow. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament, there was not a sacrifice for a willful sin. There was not a sacrifice for a willful sin. Now, that makes us pretty big sinners, doesn't it? A sin that says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Now, it's talking about this whole realm that a person willfully chooses to do that which is wrong. They're entering into a sphere of existence that is very serious. Willful sins. You know, that makes America pretty bad, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I can't quite fathom the idea in the Old Testament there was not a sacrifice for willful sins. They could only be taken care of on the Day of Atonement. There wasn't a sacrifice to bring to the temple to take care of a willful sin. Now, so what do we have? We're talking about bondage. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Verse 29, it says, now if you really, the context, it tells us there's two big sins here it's talking about that are in the same category. But verse 29 is talking about drinking. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now, I was talking about the drinker. It says, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Now, of course, here's the verse that most Christians don't admit is in the Bible. Verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Now, purple grapes, when they go through a fermentation process, turn from purple to a reddish purple. It says, don't look at it. In other words, don't look at it to want it. Don't even want it. Then it says, verse 31, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. That's talking about the fermentation process. It moveth itself aright. And so, just so you know it, the Bible teaches total abstinence. No social drinking. Total abstinence. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Talk about an alcoholic beverage. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Be tempted to drink it. Don't even look at it. Zero. Do you know that the more and more Christians are drinking than ever before? The Bible didn't change one iota. People have changed. The apostasy is upon us. But notice, that's not what the sermon is about. But verse 32, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Immorality is connected with it. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Ever talk to people who've been drinking? Whoa, man. You wish you could give them a dictionary. They only got a couple, you know, word vocabulary. There's that lieth down in the midst of the sea. Talking a little bit about upset stomach, you know. And, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Think of that ship in the sea. You know, if the ship itself is going like this, what about on top of the mast? Whoa, man, that's really something. Wow. That must be really tough. I remember there was some tour of the Grand Canyon, and it was one of those, had all the different angles. You know, you think you're in an airplane. Man, I had to close my eyes. I thought I was going to get seasick, you know, airplane sick. But verse 35, it says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Yeah. That's why many times a drunk driver can kill somebody and they never get hurt themselves. It says, when shall I awake? And what is he going to do when he awakes? He's going to seek it again. He was sicker than a dog. He committed immorality. He cursed the name of God. He regurgitated and all those other things. And immediately, he is going to go right back to it. Why? You're talking about a stronghold, aren't you? What would cause a person to go through all of that and immediately do it again and again and again? Our society calls it addiction. The Bible calls it a stronghold. A stronghold on that soul. It's a spiritual reality. Now, here is another ingredient. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I realize it's the context that when you get old, you aren't going to do much for God. That's the way it is. The older you get, the less you're going to do for God. Oh, you got lots of good intentions. You just don't have the energy. You just don't have the strength. You just don't have the ability. You just can't do it. That's the context. But you know, there's a reality. And I heard an evangelist say this, and it really makes sense. He said, when young people allow sins to come into their life before they're 18, they will struggle with them the rest of their life. Young people let sin come into their life while they're young, before they're 18, they will struggle with them the rest of their life. The strongholds of sin. You know, the world says, live the way you want, young person. It's a lie. You'll live it the rest of your life. You want to live for God, you'll struggle with it. You may struggle with it all your life. Now, a stronghold. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is something that a Christian knows is wrong. Well, maybe they don't even know how. They may know it's wrong, but they don't know how wrong it is. A stronghold is a sin that even a Christian like to get rid of, but they can't. No matter how hard they try, that sin just won't let go. It's got them. A stronghold. Now, you know, most people don't even have an idea that they have a stronghold until for some reason they try to change their life. Until they allow the Spirit of God to speak to their heart and show them something, they just live with it. They don't even care about it. They don't think about it. And like, you know, Timothy said, pride has a great deal with it, and unless the person deals with them with gentle kid gloves, they won't hear one bit. Because they're under Satan's hold. Now, the Bible tells us Jesus, chapter 7 is a great verse. Hebrews chapter 7. Jesus was able to cast out the demons. And didn't take him much effort, did it? Hebrews chapter 7, speaking about Christ raising from the dead, is now the high priest in heaven, and he's living. He didn't die and dead, he's living. Hebrews 7, wherefore he, because he has a priesthood that is unchangeable, he is able to save them to the uttermost. That's a big word. Uttermost. Uttermost. It doesn't matter where, how far, how big, how long. He can save you from it. Amen? To the uttermost. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, wow. There's nothing that can't be delivered from. Praise the Lord. You know, isn't it sad? These people, they experience these things in their childhood and they live the rest of their life in this grip. There's been abuse in their childhood. They're just overrun by it and the rest. Praise God! They can be saved to the uttermost by Jesus. The psychologists are wrong. Sin does not have to hold us. No matter what it is. Amen? So then, we'll answer that two ways. So then, why is it that so many don't get deliverance? Well, answer it another way. What did the Bible say the keys to that deliverance are? And let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, we'll read and then we'll get to the end, and we're going to talk about mainly the solution here. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law doesn't have any power to make us do right. It can tell us we need to do right. We can be convicted by it, but it can't give us the power to do right. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That's good. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. And the Bible says don't do it. But that isn't keeping me from doing it. I have a problem. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform that which is good, I do not, I find not. For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin, you know, includes sinful nature. The law of sin includes wages of sin is death. The law of sin includes knowing not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. The law of sin. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's stop right there. The great deliverance, the keys to great deliverance. If you read this passage carefully, I think that it gives us a very important first step. Brokenness. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. The key is described by that word, that phrase, oh, wretched man that I am. He is finally able to identify the problem. I think it's true. You cannot identify the problem until you've come to the place, oh, wretched man that I am. Not possible. Oh, wretched. Here's the Apostle Paul saying, oh, wretched man that I am. He gives us the key here. The grief is that brokenness. And that brokenness allows, is the key for him to identify three things. To identify his sin nature. To identify his sin nature. to identify the hold of sin on a person's life. And three, to identify their own weakness. But the key is brokenness. I would agree with the guy who wrote the book Change Into His Image, who says the number one problem among Christians is that they do not understand the sin nature. Young person, one of your biggest challenges is going to be to realize that you have a sin nature. That rebellion didn't come from somebody else. It came from your heart. That resentment didn't come from the sky. It came from your heart. Whatever it is, that we have a sin nature. And our sin nature is the source of our sin, and it disguises itself as though it's natural. In one sense, it is. But that it's natural, that it's normal. No problem. You know, the drunkard, the key is for them to be able to see their sin nature. Their sin nature loves sin. It loves sin. It has all these excuses why it's right, why it's good, why they should do it. It's a liar. It's in nature. No, I found out that we don't like to say that came from my sin nature. We don't like to say that. We don't like to say that. Because we can't justify it now. Now, we go further on that, but you know how to identify the sin nature? If God says it's wrong, then it's sin. If God says it's wrong, then it's sin. And we can't justify it. We can't say it's okay. We can't give this reason why we should do that or why we should feel that. No, God said it's sin. Sin comes from nature. But we can't see our sin nature until we come to the place we say, oh, wretched man that I am. Number two, you can't see the hold of sin. When he says, wretched man I am, what is he saying? He's saying, how evil is my sin nature. But he's also saying, oh man, I'm in trouble. I can't, I am so weak. I am so in bondage to this sin. It has so much power over me. It's got a hold on my life. You can't get there until you say, oh, wretched man that I am. Did the drunk say this sin has a great powerful power over my life? No. He says, I'll seek it yet again. And notice, the brokenness comes when a person finally realizes that they're weak, totally weak. Totally weak. You know, I've experienced as a youth pastor, you know, you get some, I remember some kids in California that we invited out to youth activity, and their solution to everything was to raise their fists. You know? And I was brought up completely different than that. And I thought, you know, these kids are a mess. They can't talk about anything. They can't solve any problems. Anything that comes up, you know, they're ready to fight it out. I thought, man, what a mess. They had no clue as to the hold of sin and revenge over their life. They didn't see themselves as weak. They thought they were tough, but actually they were weak. Now, there's a very important truth, grieving. Has to be a brokenness. Before, to get deliverance from Jesus, there has to be brokenness. There's no deliverance until there's brokenness. Now notice the second thing. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I don't have any other. There, I'm just hopeless. Then he says, I thank God. Oh. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's the key. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The second key to great deliverance is found in that word, Lord. A person has not come to the end of themselves. A person has not come to the place where they're ready for Jesus to deliver them until they're ready to obey. Until they're ready to obey. Now, think of it in a couple different ways. Obey. You know, if you aren't ready to obey, then you aren't going to be delivered. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, deliverance is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the deliverance is from. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? It says, remove thy way far from her. Remove thy way far from her. So you want deliverance from this sin, but you don't want to remove your way, yourself, far from her. Well, you're not going to get deliverance. Period. Not gonna. When a person is broken, they're finally ready to obey. Now, they're ready to obey. They're ready to remove themselves from the temptation. They're ready to put into their life what they need, the Word of God. They're ready to put into their life prayer. They're ready now. They weren't ready before. They weren't ready to obey before. They weren't ready to turn off the internet. They weren't ready to get away from their friends. They weren't ready to stop watching that thing. They weren't ready to stop going to the wrong place. They weren't ready to stop listening to the wrong people. They weren't ready. They weren't ready to obey. You know what I'm saying? You want the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver you, but He's not the Lord. Does it make sense to you? Hopefully it does. Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's just that simple. But what does it take? A person has to be ready to obey. It says, I thank God. What does that say? Ah, faith. Amen. It wasn't maybe. It wasn't hope so. Aha. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is deliverance. Not maybe. You know what I'm saying? It didn't say, I maybe think. I hopefully think. No, I thank God. Here was a place they are now ready to depend and in expectation deliverance from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in themselves. I can't do it. But I finally come to the end of myself. Now I can depend upon Jesus to do it. Dependent expectation of faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And then that very principle of what it says in chapter 8. It says, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There is the accompanying feeding the soul on the things of God, the accompanying reliance upon the Holy Spirit, not merely to give us victory, but to give us new life. To give us the opposite. Now, if we have a problem with hate, God can replace it with love. We have a problem with unrighteousness. God can give us a spirit of loving righteousness and hating evil. Some simple principles. But you say, where is this all? How do you put this all together? I'm putting it together because there are such things as strongholds. There are such things as strongholds. And I think the addictions, the fact of having addictions ministry in multiples of thousands in America today, in churches, is the result, in one case, of sin being prevalent. Sin being prevalent to young people at an early age. Imagine what 5-year-olds in the world are seeing on their cell phones. The multitude of wickedness of our society that's available everywhere. And sin is never neutral. I think the fact that in the world, for many people, it's accidental, so to speak. You know what I mean? But I think in the Christian realm, the reason that some people have such a hard time to get right with God is because they have willfully allowed sin into their life. They have willfully listened to the wrong things. They have willfully had the wrong friends. They have willfully had the wrong music. They have willfully looked at the wrong things. They have willfully sinned. And their life is under the influence of a stronghold. And for that life to change will not be easy. But it's not difficult. But the hardest thing is for that person to come to the place where they can say, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the bondage of this sin?" That's the most difficult part. A man to come to the end of himself. But perhaps you're here today and you're getting close. You're getting close. You say, "You know, I've been fighting this thing my whole life. I don't want to die fighting this sin." Maybe you're in a place where you say, "You know, my heart is hard, and I can't figure out why my heart is so hard." Obviously, Satan has a stronghold on your life. Maybe you're ready to get the victory. Isn't it great that Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost? Now, I'm not going to tell you this morning that you're necessarily going to get deliverance like that. But you are. You can get momentary deliverance that fast. Amen? But remember, it's a stronghold. If it's been there for years, it's not going to go away in seconds. A stronghold can be defeated in a moment, but it must be continually defeated over many moments and many days for the deliverance to be complete. All those days, though, must be characterized by brokenness. All those days must be characterized by the Spirit that you're ready to obey. It will be accompanied by obedience. Each day must be a day in which all these issues are wrestled with. And faith, expectant faith on our Savior, is as well made a part of that day. Any feeding, any dependence upon the filling of the Holy Spirit to make us new. Strongholds. Maybe the Lord has brought one up in your soul. Maybe you never thought of something in your life is a stronghold. Maybe you've given up that you could ever defeat that stronghold. No, that's exactly where the devil would want you to be. Perhaps even here today, it would be good and an encouragement for young people. Don't ever, ever let sin warp your life. You have parents that say no, you obey. They say, don't go there. Don't you dare go there. You got a preacher that says, no, you better do it. You better say no yourself. Because sin is no friend. Sin is no friend. It is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. And once you get into that, you now open up yourself to a power bigger than even sin, and that's the devil. And that's mighty powerful. But it's nothing through the Lord Jesus. Brokenness to see the reality of our sin nature and the awfulness of sin. Brokenness to be able to see its hold. Brokenness to finally admit our absolute weakness. Brokenness that brings us to a place that we're ready to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Brokenness that gives us to a place we're able to look to Jesus in faith, knowing the victory has been won. And brokenness that brings us to a continually daily feeding our soul, relying upon the Holy Spirit to do a work in our life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for this precious truth in the Bible. And Lord, it would be a wonderful thing, whatever that stronghold is in some precious soul's life, that today will be the beginning of its being pulled down. And that the work of the Lord Jesus would be there to save that soul to the uttermost. And Lord, and so we commit these truths, Lord, to you to do a great work. And I pray you'd help that person right now that might even be wrestling through this of what they're going to do. Whether they're going to go the way of hope or they're going to go the way of despair. I pray that, Lord, the devil would be defeated. And that pride would be defeated. And that, Lord, that the process that's been described in the Word of God would come to bear and victory would be won. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, the Lord has spoken to your heart, showed you a truth today that you need. That is the answer. And by God's grace, you're broken enough to come to Him and find the victory. And you say, Pastor, today, I think that's day. The day is today. And maybe whatever that particular stronghold that's in your life, today is going to be the end of its continual hold. It might be a battle, but today's the end of its perseverance. And you say, Pastor, God has really dealt with me today. There's a great stronghold that I'm trusting God through the Lord Jesus to be defeated. And you say, pray with me. Today is that day of decision for me. Anyone here today? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I know our stronghold. And I know that I need the victory. But my pride even today is, or even that sin is still too strong for me to be able to even raise my hand. But I want God to bring me to the place where I'm broken enough that I could raise my hand. I realize that this second invitation might even be harder than the first one. But you say, I'm not broken enough yet. Sin's got too big a hold on me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone here today? Pray for me. It's got too big a hold. I can't even raise my hand for that. Today's going to be the day of deliverance. Perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. Well, boy, I tell you what. How can you have the deliverance of the power of the Lord Jesus if he doesn't own you and he's not your Lord? I encourage you right today to turn to the one who rose from the dead, defeated the devil, and is able to save the uttermost, all that come to God by him. Will you come to him by faith? Lord, thank you for your word and for the truths. And I pray that God, in these precious lives, it would be lived out in, I know a difficult, but joyful battle of victory. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them understand the reality of the hold of the devil. He'll not give up easily. It will not be easy. But it will be easy through the Lord Jesus, for the victory is found in him. And so give your people brokenness, obedience, faith, and perseverance. May your Holy Spirit do the work. In Jesus' name, amen.